Hi, everybody. Welcome to This Week in Mormons. Thank you for spending some time with us as we go over Mormon news and stuff for the first week of June of the year 2015.
More accurately, we play with our replica Harry Potter wizard wands, and then just sort of hang out for a week. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say.
Always a pleasure to have all of you here. It's a different week, of course, as you imagine, once we'll get into it more. But, of course, Elder Perry passed away this past weekend, so that's certainly been on our minds. It's been a long time since we've had a general authority pass away.
I don't even feel like that's sad. That's, like, he was of a ripe old age.
No, he lived a solid life.
He was a great guy, man. People have great memories of him. I would not even be sad about that.
Well, we can get more into that. We'll get more into that in a few minutes. Firstly, I just want to know how my boy's doing.
Where my boy's at?
Where you at, homie?
Please say something about Who Let the Dogs Out a weird Mitt Romney throwback.
The Mitt Romney Who Let the Dogs Out is one of the greatest videos to ever be on the internet, as we all know.
Never a whiter man than Mitt Romney.
Let's think about how fun Mitt Romney is. He did the Who Let the Dogs Out, who. He boxed topless against Evander Holyfield, basically tickling him the whole time.
Tickling him through his gloves.
Pretty much. He made that great documentary when his hair's all a little bit tousled on the cover of it. Mitt?
Yep.
Mitt knows how to have a good
time. Tousled Mitt. Tousled Mitt, we call him.
He knows how to have a good time. You're going to have a great time.
He sure does.
So that,
you did a great job.
Anyway, so what's up with you, man? How's life? How's stuff?
Oh, you know, life is great. I am back in Missouri at last. And
weren't you there
Missouri
last week?
Is tremendous. No, I got back in Missouri. When did I get home? Yeah, that was last week. Never mind.
But it's okay. Every week it feels like a return, right? That's the beauty.
That's true.
You want to live in
true.
A town where you always feel like it's new. And like you're coming home.
And everybody knows your name. That's mm-hmm. exactly right.
Yes.
And so I'm in Missouri still. It was great. We had our movies in the park, which is always fun. We saw Big Hero 6. Got rained out.
Good movie.
In the little community theater. Yeah, it was nice. Ended up, let's see. Oh, I had to speak on Sunday as a high councilman.
You mean,
they gave me a weird
you
topic.
You got to speak on Sunday. You were blessed.
They gave me a weird topic. They gave me, Lord, is it I?
Okay.
Which was a topic that does not lend itself to winging it, I don't feel like.
No. No, so you and I, now we talked about this. You and I were chatting on Saturday.
Well, I don't stress about, I feel like I'm a pretty good speaker, and I'm better when I prepare less. You know, I'm one of those guys. At least I think I am. I'm probably not one of those guys. I'm one of those guys that does not prepare normally, and people say he should have prepared.
Bro, okay, fair enough.
but like I was feeling a little anxious because normally what I try and do is I try and offer a few bits of application. So I introduce doctrine, show how I would apply it. And then we talk about like sort of how that would round out my life sort of thing. You know, that's sort of what I'm going for. And instead, what stories do you have about Lord, is it I, without being absolutely depressing? But like, maybe it's us that's going to betray our Savior. That's probably us. So sorry, guys. I mean, it just was hard. And so I had to find some way of like weaving it into something a little bit more positive where I could be encouraging and still instructive. It was hard.
Okay.
And then they gave me so that new program that the church is rolling out, Just Serve at justserve.org. They rolled it out a couple of years ago. We went and checked it out. There's nothing on there. So they're doing a few pilot stakes. They're trying to like seed it and get it going. Now, the problem with these things is they take so much time to get going, and meetings are inherently so ineffective that we rush through them to try and get any momentum at all. And so we're trying to get people on there right now, and they sent me with a 25-slide PowerPoint deck to present to the ward to encourage members
like,
to go.
Like, you had to do this during the third hour.
Yeah.
So, man, you had quite the... It's quite the Sunday
no,
for
so
you.
I,
speaking
yeah, so I spoke, I drove up.
Running the
well,
hour.
And me with a PowerPoint, there's the only thing that I hate more than PowerPoint is the devil. And so, short of him, I loathe PowerPoint. So I got up there, I turned it into a solid two slide presentation just by getting everybody to agree that we liked service. I was able to skip past like 9 slides. I was like, can we all agree this is good and we should do it? Yes. Okay. We're moving on through 9 slides with quotes and movies and everything that's supposed to make you feel like you should. And we're just going to get right to the heart of the matter here. I liked it though. I felt like it turned out great.
Okay, so like, what's the end result here then? If you're piloting this program, what do you have to do? What were your action items?
Well, go sign up, go make an account, and put on a project or two. Yeah, because that's really all we're trying to get is we're trying to get people to post projects and then fulfill them. The idea is good. I feel like we pose some pretty tough challenges because the site is structured sort of like a Pinterest flow. It's using the Masonry jQuery library sort of approach, and so that's not the best way to search and sort through volunteer projects. I don't think. I think there's some developer that was really excited to use some theme in some framework, and that's what we're running on. And it's not the best. For searching that stuff. And unfortunately, the church is not super agile about getting stuff fixed. And so it leaves us in a bit of a bind. But no, that's all right.
Yeah,
what I'm trying to say is I'm a faithless servant here. I'm taking the hill, knowing I'm taking the hill, but not super optimistic that this is going to be the next greatest thing. I don't know.
Well, new programs like this take some time to roll out. I guess the main difference is I don't feel like there's the full weight of the church's marketing department behind this. At least
they don't want it to be. They want it to be the non-denominational denomination. Right? They want anybody, you know, your Baptist church to be able to go and throw up that they're painting a house this Saturday and have people volunteer through there. That's the goal, is it's bringing people together. It's just service, you know? Service.
It's just volunteerism. That's what they're going for here.
Yeah. So that's the idea. Hmm. Unfortunately, I mean, LinkedIn, like in the middle of this, literally 6 months ago, LinkedIn released their competing product for volunteers. There's a bunch of like volunteer aggregator team manager things out there. The church is kind of walking into this fight, and their big advantage is they have all these people behind them. Their disadvantage is that they have a weak tech from a web standpoint behind them, and so they can't build and react to like what users are looking for.
And there are a number of NGOs that do similar things already. I mean, like,
love one of them to be the go-to place so that, you know, if you're in Paris for a week, you can say, yeah, I'll go to a soup kitchen. That'd be a great place to meet some new people and hang out and chat. Let's go volunteer. I feel like people would do that.
Yeah. As a side note, I don't know if you saw what happened in Paris. But the famed bridge that has all the locks, everyone puts their little padlocks on.
Yeah, I was just there. I was just there at the locks.
And you probably saw them. Yeah, they tore them all off this week.
I was there before they tore them off.
I know. It was very quick. I've seen people who
traveled. What did they say? Did they say why?
They said it was – well, think about the weight.
No, yeah, the weight is a real thing.
Yeah.
Those things were heavy.
I mean,
is that why they did it?
That's basically the reason why. Structurally, it is bad for the bridge. So they pulled them off.
And they're replacing it with like glass panels now.
So I'm sorry to tell you, folks, if you put a padlock on a bridge in Paris, you're out of luck. It's gone.
Did you do that, Jeff?
I didn't do that. The funny thing is this didn't start in Paris. This tradition actually started in Serbia, in Belgrade. It was the first place to do this, and then it kind of caught on in a lot of European cities.
It's in Brooklyn.
Yeah, many cities have it, but Paris has took off because, you know, city of love, city of lights.
Oh, like Philadelphia.
All that stuff, yeah. I saw it in Hamburg. Very exciting when you're looking at a canal. You're like, oh, yeah. Here's the
Put some locks on there, people.
Here's the old shipyards. Party on. But the service thing is interesting. I'll be curious to see if they're able to do much with it or if it just kind of, you know, comes and goes. Because when the church wants to put its full weight behind a program, it clearly knows how to do it.
Yeah.
And it gets it done. I mean, it's not like with the I kept wanting to say Affordable Care Act. That is not what the church did. The church did the Perpetual Education Fund, for example. Complex, difficult program. They went all in and they made it happen. And it functions just fine now.
It's just like the Affordable Care Act.
It is just like the Affordable Care Act. Higher premiums for everyone except for the poorer people who didn't have any insurance before. So, who knows? Well, I'm glad you got to speak. I hope it was...
Yeah, it was delightful. It was just real nice.
Oh, it's good. It's good. It's good. We had a combined third hour where we just kind of talked about ward unity. In my ward, there's a huge chunk of the ward consists of younger married couples that have usually no kids, maybe one young child. So it's pretty transient. So we have very few people in the ward who move in and are moving in because they bought a house and they are living here. And this is what's going on. Our ward sort of always kind of been this way in this neck of the woods. That's common, but more so. And so our bishopric is concerned about the feeling of family and of really knowing each other and of looking out for one another's needs. So they wanted to kind of focus on that and how we can better serve one another and be one before the Lord. So it was good. We had a little chat about it, and the guy running it managed to get in some leading questions to the lone deacon in the room. Stuff like, you're going on a mission, right? This is how you feel, isn't it?
Isn't it?
It's kind of fun. The irony, of course, is the man is a lawyer, so he should know better than to lead the witness. Objection.
You should have objected.
I thought of standing up and saying, objection.
Leading
the deacon. How dare you? But it was good. Good Sunday all around. I mean, it was a fine way to spend a third hour, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't have much more to add to that. Add to it beyond that. It was just hum dandy. What I loved, though, is the mission president in the mission here in D.C. South is changing. They're changing presidencies in July. And he came to speak in our ward, the outgoing mission president, President Riggs from Gilbert, Arizona. Any of you listening might know him. I don't know.
Heard of it.
Many Mormons in Gilbert. We have listeners in Gilbert. Anyway, what a great guy. Really, really. I've seen him speak before when he talked about. Okay, the first time I ever saw him speak, he referenced Subway and like Eat Fresh and how much he loves Subway sandwiches. And there was actually a principle that got wrapped into all of this. I don't remember what it was. Which was great. And then he manages to reference Spice Girls in his talk on this past Sunday without ever naming them. But he's like, it's like great pop music would say, tell me what you want. What you really, really want. And I was just like, this guy, he's the one who gets up there and just says, good morning, sinners. And it's great because he's like, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. Great guy.
Who is this?
This is the mission president, the outgoing mission president.
What a weirdo.
No, he was really cool. But he had some really interesting parts of his remarks where he strayed. He said he did. He strayed from his prepared remarks. And, of course, I got to remember what the overall moral of it was. Yeah. My wife probably remembers better. But he spoke about enduring. Just enduring difficult, long trials.
Enduring, yeah.
And suffering and stuff. Because it was pretty personal. He talked about how his own father was excommunicated when he was a teenager. And it was
or why?
Well, he didn't go into details. It got pretty real, though. It was very interesting to see him talk about that stuff. Oh yeah, and he talked about Galatians, like gifts of the Spirit, attributes of.
Oh, I've heard of those.
Galatians 5, what is that, 22-23, I think. Anyways, it was pretty interesting story about it, like his dad leaving. It's not one you hear a lot of the time. Sometimes people get into hot water, whatever happens. They leave the church and then they go on and what do we see? What have we seen in recent history without naming some people? Lots of talk of, I feel better now than I did before. I feel liberated, right? I feel free. Instead, you have a guy who sits his son down and says, son, on Sunday some stuff is going to change and I'm not going to be a member of the church for a little while. And then after that, his dad still went to church without ceasing, even after he was excommunicated for years. And then when he was on his mission as a regular missionary years later, his dad called him up out of the blue and got permission from the mission president and said, just wanted you to know we went back to the temple last weekend. And he was talking about how sometimes you just have to endure. Like, it's tough. You ride it out. You have a hard time. I sat there as a teenager struggling with whatever happened with my father, and how it was going to affect my family and how he came out on top. Very, very interesting guy. I've always liked him, but I came to respect him even more. He would be a good mission president under whom to serve, as a missionary, says I.
Okay, I'll do it. My mission president is colluding with my my stake president to try and find me a woman.
A beard?
A woman.
Is your mission president?
While I am dating another woman. He's like, I found you the right girl. I'm like, I'm dating somebody. He's like, not the right one.
Is your mission president in your stake?
No.
So he's just gotten contact with your stake president and just said, hey, guy.
Yes, he did.
Up here. Okay.
No, and I'm like, so while I was in Europe, he left me, I'm not kidding. He left me 6 voicemails. Hello, yeah. Brother Doan. I need you to call me. I have a message. I was like, so I called him and he's like, I found this girl. She's real great. I was like, you know, I appreciate that. Cause like I'm flattered when people are like that excited to help me find somebody to love. That's very kind of them. But at the same time, it's, you know, I feel like maybe, they are always just trying to get everybody married off. And I'm just in a queue and I'm matched up at the moment with whoever is across from me in the queue, you know?
I guess. But more importantly, did they send you any, any pictures, any references?
No, none.
Well, this is a missed opportunity. I mean, I don't think it's just anybody. Al, you are a select, wonderful, and dare I say beautiful man. And
I would dare to say it.
And they are just trying to get you the woman you deserve. You know, they're just trying.
Yeah. Hey, so Jeff, while we're thinking about it, this week we do get to do a quick spot on our friend of the show, Steve Solberg. And he actually messaged me right now. He is down to call in for just a minute. Should we bring him in?
Does he have recording software set up and all that jazz?
I'm sure he does.
This is very impromptu, but if he has it ready to go, then sure, he can hop on with us if he wants. You can sort that out, and I will tell you about how this weekend I went to a crawfish boil.
Wait, is this where you got the shot in your buttocks?
No, that was this afternoon, and it was in my arm. But very close story. Very close story. No, I have a colleague from Florida who fancies himself a true Southerner, and he invited many colleagues and friends over on Saturday, and we had a crawfish boil. Sat there picking apart crustaceans, sucking out their brains. it was dynamite. It was positively delightful. It was fun. My coworkers got to meet my wife. It was, that's an important step.
That's a great step.
She succeeded as I knew she would.
She won over the people at the crawfish boil?
Yeah.
That was what you were worried about.
Oh, of course.
What if the people eating shellfish didn't love your wife?
I would be disheartened and weep.
You guys don't even know. She's wonderful. Hey, Steve. Steve, what's up, man?
Not much. Just I was just calling you because I wanted to hear about your trips to Europe, but I don't know if you've already talked about it.
No, we can regale it time and again.
Is this the first time? Do you guys have callers often?
You are our first caller. I don't think.
Yeah, welcome.
Are you recording your own stuff right now? You're all set over there, right?
Yeah, this is silly because I set up this thing on my phone to automatically record all my phone conversations.
That's the creepiest thing I've ever heard.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
I'm great, man. How are you doing?
Doing really good. Last time we talked with... Now, I don't remember if this was on the podcast, and I'm just going to say it because maybe listeners at home are curious. Maybe Al said it after. Jeff's wife is attractive. He said Jeff's wife is hot.
I said that? That sounds like me. That's
fair. That's maybe. I don't know. I don't know if this was on the podcast or not, but but now that, and I don't think Jeff and I were Facebook friends before our first, you know, the first time I was on the show. And now that I've been Facebook friends, I can verify that. You had a post the other day where you guys were eating something, like chicken or something. And I thought, look at that. Jeff's wife is hot. Well done.
Was it by chance when we were eating crawfish?
Ah, yes, that was it. The crawfish. Were you just talking about this?
We were just talking about crawfish, and I was making fun of Jeff for going to a crawfish place. But no, yeah.
Some people call them crayfish.
I actually call them crawdads. That's what we called them.
Crawdads. Yeah, they're one
whatever
of those animals.
You do, for a 10-year-old, they're terrifying to catch because those pinchers, you know? You just never know.
And they look pretty gross. Did you ever go to that place in Kahuku or whatever? No, it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the grill, the Kahuku grill, or the shrimp truck?
The Giovanni's. Shrimp truck. The shrimp truck right on the...
Yeah. Mm.
Mm. This is a dynamite.
Well, this is where you got to get the shrimp and you squeeze the poops out of them first, and then you eat them.
You did.
It's always
you had
weird.
To squeeze the poop. You had to pull their head off, which, of course.
And obviously, you can't eat a headed animal.
As
you're not going to eat its eyes. But I feel like some people maybe did. That always, it was good, but that part of it, I wish. Was not a part of it.
So Steve, this is a coincidence that we're able to talk to you because this week we have a story that mentions you. Did you know you're one of the top four LDS comedians?
Somebody sent me a link today. On LDS something, LDS Living.
It's on. No, we'll call it LDS something. No need to brand drop. LDS something.
LDS something. We don't want them to get free advertising.
The last thing we would want is for them to backlink to us.
Now I question the validity of this list because it does not mention Jenna Kim Jones. And we all know that the only Mormon worth knowing in comedy is Jenna Kim Jones.
Jenna Kim Jones is strong. I mean, she is, and she's
the brand is rising for her after Meet the Mormons. Yeah.
Yeah, the face of the franchise. It's
the franchise. I can't wait for Meet the Mormons too. we're going to set up an entire Meet the Mormon. Well, everyone's doing their own, you know, cinematic universes now. So we will have the Meet the Mormon cinematic universe very soon.
No, what would be the sequel to Meet the Mormons? Once the home teachers stop coming, Meet the Mormons 2, when the home teachers give up.
When the home teachers won't help you move.
So you have your Deseret book thing that come out. A Night of Peculiar People. Comedy Hour.
Yeah, which I'm sure is selling at least 5 or 6 copies nationwide.
One of them was me. My thought, though, is I was like, I'm buying this knowing I have no access to a DVD player. I need to go back in time in order to enjoy this
See,
night of cinema.
That's my problem as well. I actually, well, first off, I don't actually have the DVD myself. I have to
You're
go to
sure it's good. You haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it. No, I have to go buy it, I guess. I don't know. So hopefully it's good that I'm promoting it and saying,
I honestly feel like if you can't stream it, like if they're not offering it streamed, they're expecting nobody to watch it.
Yeah. We gotta talk to Deseret Book about that. See if we can do a streaming option. I think right now they don't have any, you know, sort of database for that. But seriously, no, I don't own a DVD player, so I have to watch it on my Chrysler Town & Country rental car. Like that's the only I have to.
You're gonna go for a drive for $70 a day and just watch the DVD. Just
but
watch
you, but you have to be in park though. You have to be in park, otherwise.
Yeah, you have to upgrade to the minivan. So that's sacrificing, I guess.
It sounds very difficult.
But it doesn't seem appropriate to watch a Mormon comedy DVD in a minivan.
Oh, that's meta. That is very... You should Instagram that night. So is this... And just out of curiosity, because I haven't seen it yet either. I ordered it yesterday, mainly because I'm loyal to you.
Thank you.
The
yeah.
night, is it a night of like Mormon jokes? Is it all about like how the primary kids smell weird and giving talks is, you know, always at the last minute? Or is it like just funny stuff, unreligion theme?
Right. I mean, it's a little bit of both. They pitched it to me where they said, look, we want just clean comedy. And that's the first and foremost thing, is that this is a show with clean comedians on it who happen to be Mormon. And if you have any Mormon jokes, use them and do them, because they'll hit really well with this audience, you know.
Al could not perform at this. Because Al is a Mormon who would do filthy comedy.
Yeah,
proudly.
That's fair. You've all heard this show.
He loves the film.
I'm all... But what did it end up being? Because that's, I mean, everybody, I'm sure everybody's like, yeah. And then you get in there and, like, what actually happened?
I mean, I know for me, because I wasn't watching the whole show while it was being taped, but... Like
Are you psyching yourself up in the moment?
What? Yeah.
Are you? You're backstage.
I was backstage. I was trying to meet that Dave Nibley guy. He's on there, and he's like Mormon famous. So I was
David Nibley. Yeah.
Hughes.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, David Nibley is everywhere.
I've never heard of David Nibley.
Trust me, Al. David Nibley is everywhere, including everywhere.
Is he on Studio C or something?
No. He can be seen in certain theaters around the world. There's roughly 144 of them.
What movie is he in?
Oh, well, Steve knows what I'm saying.
David Nibley, let's see. Wasn't he in, he was in the Singles Ward.
Was he in the Singles Ward? He was in the Missionaries... Best 2 years is the one I'm thinking of.
He was in Best 2 years.
Which one was he? Thinking of Kirby?
No. He was the other companionship. The one that fought with his prissy companion who was listening to music on headphones, which is against the rules. I don't know why he was doing that.
Wait, so why would he be in 140?
Al, there's a certain building down in Liberty that's only like 3 years old.
Jeff, your nuanced references aren't helping me any. I have no idea what you're trying to say.
This is pathetic if you can't figure it out from this point.
Is he in the Joseph Smith movie?
No. There's a particular building down in Liberty, Missouri, next to your steak center.
Oh! What is he? Is he a Satan character or something?
We don't need to elaborate, but he is in a particular film.
He is in... Yeah, okay. That's a very popular film. I don't know if anybody's...
I like that you're trying to make me recognize a man who I've never seen a picture of that I like associated with a name and guess where it is.
If you really want some great trivia, the film that he's in, he plays a role, and the related role, the teammate, is also played by another actor, and both of them played Joseph Smith's brothers in the Joseph Smith movie that used to be at the Visitor's Center.
Oh, fun.
It's all full circle, guys. But anyway, I apologize.
For anybody having not been to the temple, they're picturing some sort of a rugby match that we
This is incentive to get people there, okay?
You have to see that movie. Critically acclaimed. 13 points.
He does a great job.
Yeah.
No, real good. Al doesn't know it. Al's never seen it.
Wait, so he's a stand-up comedian / temple movie guy?
I mean,
I bet he had some great jokes.
I think they brought him in for some star power, because I don't know that he does a lot of stand up.
So you're saying he's bad? That's what you're saying.
He did well.
Okay.
He was super nice.
Seems like a lovely man.
When someone says he's super nice, that's right. Like the compliment you give when you can't compliment their actual body.
I just realized that. Once I said it, I was like, I didn't mean it to come off that way.
Your shirt looks great.
The way I'm saying it is like you met somebody that you think is kind of famous, and so you're like, they were nice, but we didn't talk.
They were so real. They were just real.
Dude.
He just talked to me like a normal guy.
I've been years ago. Do you know who Darren Tufts is?
No.
Steve, anybody?
If you've Darren seen,
you've seen the first Singles Ward. He's the very fastidious guy who basically creates a Palm Pilot or something like that. The tall one. Anyway, that's Darren Tufts. He's been in some stuff.
Oh yeah, tall, dark haired guy.
I almost bought a television off of him once. That was very exciting. That was
that is literally the lamest story.
That was my Mormon starstruckness right there. It was a big deal.
You were like, "This is okay. Darren the."
Yeah. So can you give us? Can you give it like? Were there any good jokes shared by any of the other comedians? What's
so,
the, any
yeah,
funny
let's
topics?
Get to the brass tacks of it. Yeah, Heath Harmison was hilarious. Did a whole bit on minivans. I'm not sure if that made it into the final cut. So
describe perhaps, it for us in case it didn't.
Perhaps I'm upsetting people right now. I know Aaron Woodall did a jokes about like his mission president and stuff. Jenna Bart.
Did you have any Mormon jokes?
It was funny. I did my home teaching bit.
Oh, gotta, no. Yeah.
And I don't remember if I joked about praying for moisture. I sure hope I did. Because that's my Mormon stuff. And then turning the time over. Like, I don't remember if I did the turn the time over joke.
How does that go? What is that?
Because I think it's weird. We say turn the time over, but I've never heard that in, like, any official capacity. I've never, like, you don't hear, like, the press reporter be like, and we're going to turn the time over to Mr. President. You know? It sounds like there's an hourglass involved.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, good luck. Don't die. The
and
time is now yours.
The time has been turned. Yeah, so...
Oh. Oh, well, that whets the appetite. I can't wait for this DVD, which still hasn't shipped. I ordered it Saturday. I expect Deseret Book Operations to be much more on top of this.
It has yet to ship?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure they're just slammed with orders.
Right. That does make sense.
They're saying, shoot. We only had 8 of these. We've got 9 orders. What do we do?
We ran that Memorial Day sale, and it just killed us. The 15% off.
Woof,
I think it's probably still going right now.
The great thing about a DVD is you know they made money even if they sold that for 80 cents. They literally they spent 24 cents to make that DVD.
Oh,
to
yeah.
Press it.
Yeah.
Out
well,
the door.
That's why I wish it was a download.
Oh, my gosh. Ones and zeros? Let's deal in ones and zeros, people. Can we please?
The margin would have been even better, I think. I don't know, though. Maybe not.
Is there a promo code? I wish we had a promo code. Give us a promo code.
Put TWIM in the Deseret Book coupon thing and see if it does anything. If it does, email us because I'd like to go and use that as well.
Yep. You know what? I'll call somebody and we'll get it happening.
Call All Sherry. Right.
Oh, will you really?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They love doing that stuff. They're way nice, especially because it's selling so crazy well.
Wait, so would you do another one of these? Was this a good move for you?
I don't know yet. I mean, I think honestly, it was like a null. I hope this doesn't sound awful. I'm just gonna be honest, because I really don't know that it's selling that many right now. People don't know who I am as far as a comedian, which is kind of useless. Like my friends know I'm a comedian, but like nobody who
because
I
it's
don't
on your
know
business card?
Knows that I'm a comedian, I think. And
oh,
yeah. And so that's useless.
It's on your Flavors Me page.
Yeah.
That's where it is.
The about me now.
I'm on about me. Yeah.
Wait. So can you tell us? Well, you made the top 4, which is very impressive. You're on there with Ryan Hamilton, Stephen Jones, and the entire cast of Studio C.
Wow, the whole cast.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, every one of those freshman BYU students was funnier than you because you came in 4th, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So
dang it.
I hope that's...
It might be alphabetical, maybe. No. No, because studio would come after Solberg. So
do you? Yeah. Well, that makes sense because they did, work on comedy for 9 years before
they started
BYU and were focused on their studies.
Do you have any good stories about Stephen Jones or Ryan Hamilton? Anything that like. Have you had interaction? Stephen Jones is just from YouTube spoofs and stuff, right?
Right, right.
Oh, that guy.
The Old Spice spoof.
Yeah, that's how I knew him.
I don't know. I've never even. I think I met Stephen Jones in an audition once, but that was it. So, not a ton of interaction with him.
All right. Well, forget that guy. Tell us about Ryan Hamilton.
Ryan is amazing. Ryan, I could not sing his praises long enough. If you don't know who, here's the thing. If you're Mormon and you're listening to this podcast right now, there's about an 86% chance you love Brian Regan.
that's science. That's science saying that.
There's science. Yeah. It's the P value on it is strong. Like we know you love Regan, Brian Regan. Here's the thing. Brian Regan is great, but he's not LDS. So why is he getting all your money? No, that's
yeah.
That's not what I meant
money to
say
the fellow Mormon. Yeah.
To be honest, that's not what I meant to say at all. I only said it.
I feel like Ryan Hamilton should get up at shows and just be like, I'm one of you. If you're Mormon, I'm one of you. Tubal Cain, give me all your money.
That's the thing. He's so like concerned about being funny and not just being like a Mormon comedian that he kind of doesn't. He always tells me, he's like, I'd rather be a comedian who's funny, who happens to be Mormon, than branded as a Mormon comedian. And it totally makes sense. And I think he is just every bit as funny as Brian Regan. Not that the two need compared. I mean, he'd probably rather we not even talk about Brian Regan. But
yeah, let's respect
he
Ryan's
who shall
wishes.
Not be named.
Let's respect Ryan's wishes. He right. wouldn't want this.
He who shall not be named, whom ye all worship as the your comedian. I'm just telling the Mormon audience that you can have another comedian. It's okay. Brian Regan won't get mad. Neither will Jim Gaffigan.
Well, it's been funny because Steve, when you and I were hanging out, we were sort of talking about like, how do you, if you're a good, clean comedian, your market probably isn't the seedy comedy clubs. Like your market is like families that want to laugh. And like,
right.
There has to be a better way to break into comedy as a clean comedian that like just goes and targets, you know, like you need like a zone conference. You would crush it at a zone conference. It's a bunch of 20-year-old men that need clean comedy. That's what they're looking for.
He would kill it.
What if you went on a mission tour? That's what you should
not do. Not he would kill it there. Steve, we're talking about you. This is we don't need to worry about these other folks. We need to get you.
Yeah, Ryan Hamilton has never been on this show.
Ryan is a wonderful human, but he is not the only Mormon comedian, sir.
You're right.
All about-
and I'm not number four. I'm number 2.5, at least.
This is what I picture, Steve. This is what I picture for you. Eventually, we're all together in Los Angeles pitching a show that's just called Solberg. And it's semi-autobiographical. A sitcom, Fox might take it. Maybe NBC would pick it up. And it's going to be great. That's our battle plan.
Jeff's a great writer, and I'm a good laugh track. I'll just laugh at all your jokes.
Oh, my God.
Well, no laugh track. This has to be a single camera sitcom. That's what I believe in.
Oh, okay.
No studio audience. And eventually what's going to happen is, mark my words, Steve will win some form of an Emmy.
When I feel like Steve would be the Jim Halpert character where he just looks at the camera and like rolls his eyes a lot.
I would love to be that. Girls love that guy. Jeez.
I would be the Dwight Schrute character.
Basically, it'll be about Steve will be a struggling comedian living in his Salt Lake City apartment. He'll hang out with his various friends, which will probably be two guys, one female, and it'll be a show about nothing.
That sounds genius.
Right?
I'm
convinced we could go at least 9 seasons.
It's coming to Hulu on the 26th of June.
Yeah.
Seinfeld, every episode is coming to Hulu. Cannot wait.
Pretty excited. Yeah.
Anyway, Steve, it is a delight to chat with you, man.
Thanks for letting me call in.
I'll call back and we'll tell you all about Paris, Estonia, and Finland.
Okay, cool. That's cool.
That is my humblest of brags. That is the way that I like still say all the cool places I've been without actually talking about it, so I feel better about myself.
I almost went to El Paso this week.
I don't know why I'm still single. I can't quite put a finger on it.
I don't get it. Nobody goes to Paris, Estonia, and other country.
Steve, you know who's a catch? The comedian and the traveler. Like, what are we doing as roommates? Single.
We were roommates. Can you believe the powerhouse listeners? I like talking to your listeners for some reason.
Yeah. Hey, Twim Nation, let's get serious for a minute.
Steve should have a weekly column on This Week in Mormons. I think that's what the world needs.
Oh, yeah.
I would.
Oh, yeah,
do
you could just write. You could write about the antics of being Mormon, and you could call it single in Salt Lake City. One of a million.
Steve, this is how we give you the twin bump. This is my business proposal right here. This is what we do.
All
this
right.
This is it.
Oh, okay.
That sounds good. I think I'm probably biting. Sounds good to me. Except I moved to West Valley. I don't know if that. Let's just keep the single and solid.
Did you joined a gang?
Yeah, I'm in a gang out here. It's kind of cool.
The initiation took you to West Valley.
It was tough, but I made it in. So
it's the buttercream gang. Well done.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'll catch up with you in a little bit. Thanks for calling in, man. It's good.
Cool.
Thanks
for having me.
Everybody, go buy the DVD. What is it? A Peculiar People.
Peculiar People at Deseret Book.
All right. See you, buddy.
Okay. See you. Bye.
Bye, Steve.
Bye.
Whoop. There it is. What a party.
What a time that was.
I'm optimistic that audio turns out.
Yeah, if it doesn't.
If he's recording phone calls, he's probably recording us as well. You may have your work cut out for you, Jeff.
Thanks, Al. Really appreciate that. I have a lot of time to devote to those sorts of things nowadays.
I'm so sorry. It seemed like a great idea at the time, you know?
Yeah. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
It's good. It's going to be good.
I don't have a lesson to plan or some home teaching assignments.
Your lesson. Quit your whining. All right. So anyway.
You will not plan my lesson because I want to have a PowerPoint in it.
Oh, my gosh. Do you for real?
No. Just to spite you. Gosh.
Could you imagine going to a Sunday school lesson and then leading out with a PowerPoint? They're like, Peter was a man, as you can see in these images I found on Google image search. Peter.
Here's the thing, though. Is that any worse than watching videos? Either way,
yes.
I feel like it's more pretentious, but at the same time, you're just leaning on some other form of media to support your lesson.
Yeah, except PowerPoint is inherently worse. It's dumb media.
What about Google Slides?
No, absolutely not.
Okay,
it's not
just the brand, it's the actual type of product. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. So if we may, let's see. Let's talk about Elder Perry for a minute.
Yeah, that was sort of the whole point of most of the show, but instead, here we are, everyone. Elder Perry.
No, Jeff, I'm sorry I entertained you with my interest in LDS comedy.
This was supposed to be a somber show where we just played music. Remember those old chant CDs from the 90s? That's all. We're just going to play those when we talk. So yeah, Elder L. Tom Perry passed away on Saturday. I feel like that came very quickly. If you remember on Friday, we published a thing that the church announced that his cancer was aggressive. It was diagnosed as terminal. And then that was that. And then the next day he passed away. So that was quick. And just to be clear, this was not like he had a cancer diagnosis months or years ago, and they just kind of came out with it now. When you saw him at General Conference in April, he was diagnosed with nothing. He was fine, and he was the usual L. Tom Perry. I mean, we even made a joke tweet that he was going to live till he was 150. And then it was about 40 days ago that he got diagnosed with thyroid cancer, a rarer form
four?
Of cancer.
4 days ago?
40. About 40 days ago.
Okay.
4-0. And then it spread very, very quickly, apparently. His son gave a couple of interviews, actually, to news outlets since he passed away. He talked about how, the cancer was very aggressive. It spread very quickly. He also said his father wasn't really in any pain when he passed away, which is always nice to hear. And at the same time, he didn't have to suffer through a long battle with cancer. You know, he's served 92 awesome years serving the Lord and was removed from his mortal sphere very quickly and hopefully painlessly. And so that happened.
Yeah, we all understand death. I like that you talk about his mortal sphere. My thing with L. Tom Perry is that guy lived life to its fullest, it seemed like. Every time I went to hear him speak, he was one of those apostles that surprised you with how happy he was. You know, like you sort of expect him to be a little more serious and sober and just sort of ho-hum-ish a little bit. And or not ho-hum, but like doctrinal issues focused all the time. And he would get up and he'd crack some jokes and he'd laugh. And the man was happy.
Which is why,
you know, something like this, it sort of sits well for me, because I feel like Elton Perry would, if he could say, you know, he'd be like, nah, I have no regrets, man. I crushed it. I did life great. Good luck following my
As a side note, Al, I love that you say crushed it, because it's such a cliche for like bro-y startup people to say I'm crushing it. But you say it sincerely, and it makes me
laugh. I do, with my heart. I say that.
And it makes me laugh, because I usually say I'm crushing it to make fun of people who say I'm crushing it. Like you're a stockbroker. But whatever.
Yeah. Crushed.
Anyway, you're crushing. I agree with you. He always gave such happy talks. He was just a happy person. You could tell no matter what. Even if there were people like, you know, his most recent conference talk had some people, when he's talked about gay people, counterfeit lifestyles, was a quote that ruffled some feathers and whatever. You could tell there was no malice in that man. That was a guy who just loved people and like wanted to just meet people and shake their hands and be happy to be around them.
I do feel like most of his talk centered around the restoration, and pretty much came verbatim out of the Pearl of Great Price, which made me not love his conference talk. But his other talks, you know, in other settings, I always thought were good.
I think you're thinking more some recent history. I would say some of his most recent talks might have focused more on religious freedom, which has been the thing.
Yeah, a lot of religious freedom, a lot of restoration, a lot of Martin Luther stuff.
The reason he spoke a lot about the restoration is because for a stretch, as they rotate, for a number of years in the 12, he oversaw the missionary department. And almost just quite reliably, whichever apostle is in charge of the missionary department at that time, almost always gives conference talks on something related to missionary work. Definitely that is the rule, not the exception. Very rarely have I seen them deviate. For a while, Elder Ballard was in charge. Every talk he gave was about something involving the restoration or missionaries.
I know. It gets so old, man. You're just like, come on, get crazy on me. Let's go talk about the Book of Moses or something.
But Elder Perry did get kind of crazy. I love that every talk he would start off, and I always viewed him, I've said this before, like a steam engine, where the wheels start going a little bit with that power. And by the end, it's rolling. And he would always be
ridiculous.
I'm not ridiculous. He would almost be growling by the end, just like, I know, I don't know. He would work up so much momentum.
I've never seen that. I've never seen that performance.
Well, you don't have good spiritual eyes or a heart, for that matter.
I have none of those things.
No, but I've always appreciated how emphatic Elder Perry was in the way he would preach about stuff. And I like that he was he was straightforward, because some apostles might give more flowery, more poetic talks or more laden with metaphors. You know, Elder Bednar loves his object lessons, which resonate well. Elder Holland is always very powerful and uses beautiful language. And those are wonderful talks. Elder Perry was a straight shooter. You know, he would get up there, talk about these principles that mattered. Mic drop, sit down.
I didn't love his conference talks. I feel like that's terrible to say, especially in his like, in our morning time, but I loved his other talks. Any talk outside of conference, I loved.
Name a talk he gave outside of conference, then, that you're familiar with, Al, that clearly none of us are aware of, because it wasn't in conference.
Like when he came to the, he'd come to the mission, or to the MTC, or he'd give talks at a forum or something.
Okay, and what did he speak about?
We just speak about, like, life, or like, charity, or,
Or is this more because the venue was a little more different? Because I've found that apostles are more off the cuff when they're not.
That may be it. I literally like I think he gave like 9 talks where he just recounted the Joseph Smith history. He'd be like, "Here's a boy in 1830, and then he prayed and he found." I'm like, "Yeah, I know this story. Come on, skip ahead to the interesting part. Let's go." Impatient man.
Al, you might need to read the Deseret News article. It's called 21 Uplifting Quotes from Elder Elton Perry.
Okay. Well, all right. Let's get a few.
Let's see. Here's one. Family is the center of life. It is the key to eternal happiness. Boom. A good character is something you must make for yourself. It is the reward that comes from living good principles and manifesting a virtuous and honorable life. Boom. Our marriage ceremonies eliminate the words "till death do us part" and instead say "for time and all eternity." I don't feel like that's really a quote. I feel like that's just something.
That's a like fact. That's true.
A manual. That's okay. Today's complexities demand greater simplicity. Obedience to law is liberty. go forward with zeal and determination. So far, none of this is about the restoration, Al. The most powerful teaching a child will ever receive will come from righteous fathers and mothers. We must never let the noise of the world overpower and overwhelm the still small voice. The greatest teaching is done through righteous example. Obedience, again, is a choice. Lasting peace. Life has challenges. Enduring to the end. Lots of stuff about enduring. Come on. Clearly, he has a great body of work.
All right, whatever, whatever. Yeah.
Also, if you wanted to know seven little factoids about Elder Perry, seven things you never knew. That one place, LDS something, has seven things you never knew about Elder Perry. One, a strange traveler read unknown scriptures to Elder Perry's ancestors, which were missionaries with the Book of Mormon, but they didn't know what was going on, but it converted them eventually, and they joined the church. Elder Perry's dad was bishop.
I feel like that's most childhood bedtime stories.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what's going on. What are you reading to me? All right. I'm joining the Church of Lord of the Rings.
Elder Perry's dad was bishop for over 18 years. Elder Perry was a huge Boston Red Sox fan, if you remember that. The town of Perry, Utah is actually named
Threw out the first pitch at a Boston Red Sox game, didn't he?
He did, 2004. He was 81 years old.
That's like getting to throw out a pitch at a San Diego Padres game.
Padres. My wife's from San Diego. I'm not from San Diego.
Whatever, Jeff.
Elder Perry was one of the last people in the church to serve a mission before the World War II suspension. That's interesting. Elder Perry went to great lengths to maintain a perfect church attendance record, which I think is very interesting.
He did?
As a young boy, Elder Perry had a perfect church attendance record. One week, he was sick with tonsillitis. The entire family left Elder Perry and his mother at home and went to church. They were all shocked to see young L. Tom Perry walk through the chapel doors only a few minutes after the services had begun. He refused to ruin his perfect record. Which is interesting, because I always remember his conference talk when he spoke about how even like if we're on vacation, that doesn't mean the Sabbath ceases to be the Sabbath. Like I remember there's a story of him being on a lake with his family and his kids, and everyone's out boating on Sunday, and he's like, nope, we're going to have sacrament meeting, hang out, chill.
I like it.
And Elder Perry and his servicemen built the first chapel in Saipan, a tiny island in the Pacific Ocean.
I want to build a chapel in Saipan. I feel like see, that's what I'm saying. I feel like this guy was living life, man. He was married, then he married his wife currently, was like a short girl, like half his size, just a tiny woman. I bet... just like a little spitfire. He could just grab her and throw her in his suitcase and off they would go. This seems like a fun relationship.
Yeah. And if you remember, of course, his first wife passed away. She died of cancer.
She did. They didn't break up. They didn't fall out of love. I mean, this was the man, the L train. What? He was built to last.
Well, yeah. They also had a daughter pass away of cancer. And then he remarried in 1976. And that. But one thing that did roil me quite a bit, Reuters, we put this on our Facebook page. So most of the media that's covered this has been just fine. So like, hey, Mormon leader, third in line for the presidency, most senior apostle, passed away. Great man. Here's some stuff about him. Reuters, for some reason, Reuters, of all the agencies, the headline said, Mormon leader L. Tom Perry dies at 92, comma, opposed same-sex marriage. Like, that's the only noteworthy thing to mention.
You couldn't talk about how he built a chapel in Saipan?
Yeah, it could have been like a World War II veteran. All the great things this man did.
Comma, really nice all-around guy. Comma, really tall man. Comma, surprisingly giant. Comma, borderline witty. Some call him clever. Comma.
Yeah.
Any of those.
So... that disappointed me, though. I thought that was unnecessary, especially because also, in theory, don't all of the brethren oppose same-sex marriage? It's not like he is some you know, vociferous outlier.
Do you think all the brethren oppose same-sex marriage? I don't think that.
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yes. I do. I absolutely do. I believe they might be coming around with different approaches to gay rights, but of course they don't believe in same-sex marriage. I mean, we had the whole thing in Utah, which Elder Perry was.
I bet there's one or two in there that are just like, "Don't ask me to give a talk on it, brother, because you know what you're gonna get."
You never know. But then look at the ones like Elder Christofferson, who speaks openly about it, and he has a gay brother, and that's been highlighted before. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's true.
Al, what do we expect, though, from here, Al, as we leave? So, of course, an apostle has passed away. It's been a long time. This hasn't happened since Elder Worthland passed away in late 2008. We've had the same gang has been together for a little over 6 years.
They have been a long time. From here, the same crew will operate. So, it could go, I mean, literally you could go years with this. With an undermanned quorum of the 12. The idea is that there are 12 apostles. We have the two assistants in the first presidency, or the counselors in the first presidency, that are also apostles.
Yes.
And so there is still a quorum, and so they are fine to operate it as they will. What will typically happen, though, in our day and age, is they'll call somebody by the next general conference. Now, that may change just because we had a conference recently.
Yeah, we don't
call somebody in the meantime, but I would expect that the new announcement would be made at the next general conference.
One would assume, because I believe Elder, a good comparison actually is Elder Worthland passed away in December, which is about 2 months after the conference before that. So, and right now we're about 2 months from the last.
And we waited until general conference, right?
In all recent history, we've waited until general conference for an apostle. If the prophet passes away, they reorganize the first presidency within a matter of a week or so, usually. And they announce that via press conference. That's what happened with President Monson anyway. And so that's what remains to be seen. But from what I've seen, I'm trying to think of, though, what I don't remember is if when President Faust passed away, and when President Eyring was called by President Hinckley as second counselor, I don't remember if that waited until conference, or if because it was first presidency related, whether that was done immediately.
They called a new counselor right away, eh?
So they called President Eyring right away after President Faust passed away, and then they probably didn't fill the slot though in the 12 until conference.
That makes sense.
If my memory serves. So. People have asked us, we're not going to speculate on potential new apostles this week, maybe next week or something like that. The funny thing is it doesn't matter. It's hilarious to speculate about stuff like that because, like, what do we know? I mean, like, really?
There's no campaigning for this stuff, right? I mean, as much as I may put Jeff's name in for the Quorum of the 12,
it's probably not going to happen. There's no white smoke emitting from the temple or anything. All right,
that's not the way this stuff works. Yeah.
So
thankfully, so I kind of like that. I like that it's the idea is that it's revelation driven. The brethren will go and probably much like, and you know, a stake presidency would call people or a bishopric would call people. They meet. They try and come up with names and then work a list down until they get the right one, or perhaps it's just revealed to them. I don't know. I'd be curious to see if there's ever any stories about how that process has worked for people. I know that apostles have testified of the sacredness of the call as it was extended to them and some of those confirmations
Peggy Fletcher Stack did write a little bit about this, and she said historians at least noted that most current apostles are asked to write three names on a slip of paper, and then with or without open discussion, a secret ballot is held, and the results are tallied and then forwarded to the church president. So sometimes they accept those, sometimes they don't. So, because one thing to bear in mind is President Monson is the prophet, uppercase, and he has all the keys, but all of the 12 and the first presidency are prophets, seers, and revelators, and are therefore privy to important revelation concerning this matter. But we don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, it could be anybody. It could come out of church leadership. Could come out of elsewhere. It won't be I doubt it would be a straight pull from academia because they've already kind of been phasing those out, you know, like Kimby Clark, folks like that, for example. But
what do you mean phasing them out?
Well, what I mean is I believe when Elder Bednar was called, he was at BYU Idaho, like serving as the president. He wasn't already announced to leave and was on his way out and doing something else. He was the currently serving president, and they called him in.
I was going to say, man, death is sudden. You can't plan for this stuff. No, nope. There's no track to follow here.
But I do think it's But we'll see. But I think it's that way. It's inspiration, but all of inspiration comes from studying things out in our mind. And so a part of inspiration is sitting there with potentially with names in mind and praying about them. I mean, I've been in that exact same position, calling counselors and elders quorum. I did not just sit there and say, you know, ask Heavenly Father to tell me what to do.
You hear it both ways, though, man.
I looked at names. I studied out who made sense in my mind, but I pondered over the names in the quorum and looked at various names and sought for impressions while looking at different names of guys in my quorum and sort of narrowing it down from there. So, but yeah, so, it can go anyway.
So can we talk for just a minute about the sister missionaries down in, where were they, Atlanta or Georgia?
South of Atlanta, actually, kind of in the middle.
Natalie Bernard was from Washington State, and I guess she was driving with Rachel Beckstrom, her companion, from Utah in the passenger seat, and they got in a wreck with a tractor trailer, and Natalie died, and Rachel survived. Which is, so they were both serving as sister missionaries down there and just had a crummy wreck, man, which thankfully it's been a little while since we've had a missionary pass away. But this is, I mean, that's, how devastating is that? Especially like, you know, one of our young women to, you know, to have to make that call home and say that they'd passed away. That sucks at 20 years old. That's rough. So our hearts go out to her family, obviously, and those who knew her. Very, very sad thing to have happen, especially on a mission.
I was down in Forsyth, Georgia. Other than that, I mean, there's some more minor news we can make some mentions of. They've announced a guest to sing in the church's Pioneer Day concert, if that's a thing that you're into.
Oh, so Motab, right?
Yeah, with Motab. Motab does a Pioneer Day concert. Free tickets are available if you're in the Salt Lake area. And Broadway performer Laura Osnes will join them and sing a bunch of stuff. It's called The Music for a Summer Evening, July 17th and 18th at the Conference Center. So, you know, go check that out, see what's doing. Also, a scheduling note, by the way, speaking of things that are happening, Elton Perry's funeral will be this Friday. So it's going to be open to the public, no viewing or anything like that. But the funeral will be open to the public at the Tabernacle. Doors will open at 9:30 a.m. Mountain Time, and those wishing to attend should be in their seats by 11:30, and then the funeral will be at 11 a.m., and then all church campus buildings will be closed by 10:30 and won't reopen until after the funeral at 1 o'clock on Friday.
There you go. All right, man. Well, Jeff, pretty eventful week, man. It's good to talk to you, as always, and I look forward to talking to you more. People, send us emails. We got a couple of responses to Jeff's call for bloggers. That was kind of fun.
Sure.
And if you missed it,
yeah, send us a note. Be a blogger if you want.
Jeff wants more content on the site, and I want to give it to him, so do it now. Email us, contact at This Week in Mormons, both with questions, jokes, and thoughts. Some of you are giving us tips and things like that. We appreciate that. What up, Ryan? Also, you can go visit thisweekinmormons.com and leave a comment on any of our posts there. We love the dialogue, love the chatter. Please do it.
All that stuff. Join us on our various social media outlets. And I would like to give a special shout out to our Sunday School Bonanza listeners, many of whom either emailed us or tweeted at us saying, wait, you're not going to stop Sunday School Bonanza, are you? And I said, what? Now, the reason why, Al, you'll appreciate this, we're now 4 years old. Back around from when we first started Sunday School Bonanza, you and I doing a bunch of episodes. And so we opted to republish those as part of the New Testament manual this year. And in the first episode we did, we're a little more tentative. We say, hey, we're just trying this out. You know, we hope you like this. If you don't, let us know and we'll stop doing it. We don't want to waste your time, blah, blah, blah. Normal stuff for a first episode. But regular listeners who have listened to the show, not hearing that from 4 years ago, apparently we're concerned that we were up and in the middle of Sunday School Bonanza saying, well, guys, you know, maybe we're not going to do it. Let us know if we
should
stop.
Have put a preface on there.
I don't have time for that.
So will we still record new stuff or are we done?
We're not done. We didn't do the whole thing. We started on lesson 20. We got up to, we did 16 episodes and stopped. So there's still ones that'll be on the end of the year that'll be new ones. If I happen to listen to any of the ones with me and Al and they're terrible, Maybe I'll re-record
that. That could
but I
happen.
Think they're actually, but most of them are pretty decent, actually. We, back in the early days, I think we tried harder with looking up supplemental material and like stories and anecdotes and supporting conference talks. It was a bit different back then. So all in all, I think it's okay. Sorry for the aside. I just wanted to assure our listeners that that's not going anywhere anytime soon.
There you
anyway,
go.
So folks, thanks for taking the time to be with us, and we look forward to talking to you next week and hope you'll have a great week. Al, I wish you well, my friend.
Thank you, brah. See
you,
man.
Right, folks. See you, everybody. Have a good week. This Week in Mormons. Signing off.